Thank you. First of all, you have to bear with my English. And my pronunciation also may be difficult for you to understand. And it is a privilege for us to be with you this morning with my wife. And also thank you all for the support you had for the orphanage. As Brother Tim had said, we arrived at the stage on the 22nd of March, and God willing, we'll be leaving tomorrow, early morning. We'll fly from Fort Smith to Dallas, and we had a layover for 9 hours. And then from there, we'll go to London, Heathrow, and then from there to Delhi. Then finally to our home state, Manipur. As you may have already aware of, India has got the second largest population in the world next to China. We are about 1.3 billion people in India. And then in the state, if I am not mistaken, you have about 232 million people here. But you have a larger land area. But in India, we have 1.3 billion. And then in some front, India is also developing. At the same time, it is still developing, and then there are many needs. Many villages around India are without even electricity. My home state, Manipur, which is one of the 7 states in northeast India, that is bordering to Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, China, and all that. We have a population of about close to 3 million people. And that is a very neglected area. And then again, my hometown is Churuchanpur. That has got about 271,000 population. And there are many tribes living in that area. And as I had said, this Manipur and Churuchanpur is a neglected area. It is a dream for us to have 24 hours power supply as you had here. So we need to have a backup system at home if we are to have electricity or light. Otherwise, we will be under candle most of the time. And it is not possible to depend on even our refrigerator because we don't get 24 hours power supply. It was so backward. And at the same time, this Churuchanpur, if I am not mistaken, it is more than 20 tribes living in that area. And then people are fighting each other, killing each other. It is a backward area, and it is, I should say, although we are, majority of that people are Christian, but most of them are nominal Christian. They call themselves a Christian, but they are not a born-again Christian. They just are born and brought up in a Christian family and call themselves a Christian, but they are not a born-again Christian. So that's why there is a lot of fighting in that area. And the need for the orphanage also is quite great. Let me go back. In India, as I had said, 1.3 billion population, about 80% are Hindu. And about 13% of the population are Muslim. Then 2.3 are Christians. So you could be killed or sent to jail by eating or selling beef. Because it is a Hindu country, so we are influenced by that, and then even our homestead, majority of the population are Hindus. So we are in the neglected area. So the need for the orphanage is so great in our area. Although we have a few orphanages in that area. But as I had said, the percentage of employment is very, very low. Unemployment percentage is quite high. When the breadwinner of a family passes away due to sickness or any other thing, then there is no one to take care of the family. Mother is unemployed, children are unemployed. We do work by manual, not machinery. Then one man will earn about, let me see, $3.8 for 7 hours. So the income is so low, and then when the bread earner, the father, pass away, then it is so difficult for the mother to take care for the family. So the need for the orphanage is so great, especially in our area. And there are many fighting, as I had said, and then many drug addicts in our area. And as I had said, low income create a lot of problems in the area. And the government is not doing enough development and not creating enough job for the youth. Even educated people also don't get jobs in that area. So life is difficult in our area. Fortunately for me, I am working as a system administrator in one organization called Partnership Mission Society. Then my wife also has got a job in a government, so we could pull through. There are many, many families not getting enough food to eat, and it is difficult for them to have good 2 meals in a day. And then we eat rice and vegetable. Even that also is difficult for many, many families in our area. As we have been here, your table is full of food, different kinds of food. But back there, it is difficult even to have rice or dal. And it will be difficult for you to understand what I had said. I believe Caleb will understand some. Right, Caleb? Because as we roam out on outskirts, you see the living condition of the people, the houses. So then you will understand how they are living. So unless you come and see, it will be difficult to understand the condition of the people living there. And I used to say that, even for myself also, unless I go and visit hospital, it is very difficult for me that how lucky or how thankful I should be because I am in good health. Only once I visit hospital and seeing many sick people lying around, then I came to realize that how lucky I am to be in good health. So also, unless you see or hear what's happening in our area, it will be very difficult for you to understand that there are many, many people without food or proper shelter. And we don't have cold weather like you did here, but there are many, many families without proper blanket to cover, during even winter. So the need for the orphanage in that area is so great. So Brother Richard had a vision, and then he had entrusted me to look after the orphanage. We are now in the critical stage, I should say. We need to have a roof. The area of our building is 100 by 50, but we are having front side and back side a little veranda. So to have a roof concrete, we need to fill a concrete. The size of is little over 6,100 feet square. And we need a lot of items, and we are waiting on the Lord for that provision. To have a roof concrete, we need about 1,500 kilograms of iron rod. that 10 mm and 12 mm. Then we need 12 truckloads of chips, or what we call gravel. Then we need 2 truckloads of sand. In our area, we don't get proper sand. What we could get the best is from neighboring state, Dimapur. And also Manipur, we are living in a seismic zone 5, very prone to earthquake. Recently also we had, I think, 6.7 earthquake. And then we are in zone 5, that is the highest. And then scientists are predict that one time it will happen, and then it will be higher than 8 on the scale. So we are building this, are building in such a way that it will withstand the earthquake. So we have many pillars also. Caleb, do you still understand how many pillars are there? Okay, good. So we have a lot of pillars, and then we want to use the best sand we could have so that it can withstand earthquake. So we could get a local sand cheaper, but then we insist to get, we want to get a best quality that we can get, that is from the neighboring, and that adds up the cost for that also. Then we will need bamboos, GI sheet, and we call it cement here. I think you call it here concrete. We require about 560 bags, which is about $6 per bag. That is 50 kilograms, about 110.2 pounds. So we are waiting on the Lord for His provision to have the roof. In our area, we'll have monsoon by this June. It is our prayer that we'll have the roof before this monsoon. Then we are waiting on God's provision for that. And once we have the roof, then we can start building the wall for that. And then we would like to start the orphanage as soon as possible to give shelter to the needy children. And we plan to have the kids between 5 to 10. If they are very old, it is very difficult to discipline. And if they are very young, then it is difficult to take care again. So there are many, many even waiting, asking me, when can we start the orphanage? And then I told them that we are waiting on the Lord's provision to finish this. And then, as I had said, once we start, we will give them good education, good shelter, and then we'll provide health, then we'll provide this computer system, we'll teach them computer. Then fortunately there is a health center close by, a small one, so that it is just a walking distance. Then we'll give Christian environment in that in this orphanage. So please pray with us so that we'll have the roof before monsoon, and then have the wall, and then all the needed items to start the orphanage. It is our prayer that we could start at least, if not possible, by the end of this year, at least by next year, by the first part of next year. To conclude, I would like to ask Brother Tim to come forward and read to us Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 45. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. If you want to look in your Bibles, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. And if you have found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee hungered, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee to drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Well, let's pray together, and let's ask God to provide for the work of this orphanage, and that God would use us to be a blessing to little children who need a home, need a place. And so let's bow together. Father, we're grateful this morning for Your presence among us. Thank You for loving us, and thank You for blessing us, Lord. Even here in this country, Lord, we have children in need, and we understand that. But yet, Lord, we see it on a different scale in India. We understand the need is great. And so, Father, we just pray that You would bless this effort, Lord, to build this orphanage, Father. You know the needs that are there. Father, You know the children that are going to be housed in that place one day. And Lord, we just ask that You'd help us to minister unto the least of these. In whatever way that You enable us to or allow us to, Father, let us enter into that work. And Father, we just ask that today we would be obedient to You, and Lord, that we would be able to give whatever You've blessed us with, God. And we know, Lord, it's all Yours. And so, Father, we just pray. We pray for Trana and Bune. Lord, we thank You for them. Thank You for their willingness to come and to share with us. Father, we pray You'll bless them. We pray that You'll meet the needs that they have for their family. And we pray, Lord, for their journey back home. We ask You to bless them and be with them every step of the way, and provide for them and take care of them. And Heavenly Father, we just ask You now, as a church family, we pray that You'll help us to do our part, Lord, just to do our part and to be faithful for what You've called us to do. And Lord, we praise You. We love You. We thank You so much. We pray together in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, in a moment, we're going to receive a love offering for the orphanage and give you an opportunity to have a part in that. Now, we take a love offering the first Sunday of each month, and that money is split between a mission work in Indonesia and this orphanage in India. But today we're going to take this offering entirely for the orphanage, and everything that's given will go to meet the needs. So let me give you a little bit of a update on where we are and what the needs are. What we're talking about right now is putting a roof on the building, and you saw the pictures there, and you know, it's very different over there. And so when they construct a building, you know, here we call a ready mix company, and we have concrete delivered and poured, and it's work, but it's nothing like what they do there. They will mix this entirely by hand, 6,100 square feet. They will mix this on the ground with buckets pouring in their water and sand and cement and gravel, mixing it with hose and shovels, and then shovel it into buckets and carry those buckets, climb the ladders, pour it. On the day that they pour the roof, which will one day be the floor of the second floor, the day they pour it, they'll have probably 300 men working all in one day to do it all in one day. And so, you know, it's just on a different scale and a different way of doing things. But we're estimating it's going to cost between $30,000 to $36,000 to pay for the cost of the roof. And so while Trana and Brunei have been here, two businessmen have donated $10,000, and that really, you know, put us on the way toward that, and then other churches have chipped in. And today we want to have a part in this work. Now, once the roof is on, they can begin to work on the inside. They'll have, you know, be able to be in the dry, and they'll be able to begin to work. And the rainy season, the monsoon season is coming. And that once that hits, it's very difficult to do much. And so we just want to have a part in this ministry. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. You ready? All right. Now, if you're our guest this morning, we don't expect you to take part in this unless you just want to. But we want to give you an opportunity. So if our men will come, we're going to receive a love offering for the orphanage. And one thing I will say as we think about this, Brother Trana was sharing the differences from our country to India. And it is staggering. And things that we take for granted, I will just say that we are spoiled and we are soft. And but we have an opportunity here to be a blessing. So let's just ask God to bless whatever is given and use it for His glory. Clinton, would you pray for us? We've heard what we needed to hear, but I do want to give you a scripture just to have you thinking. And next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I'm going to preach this message. I was really kind of pumped to preach it this morning, but I'm going to try to hold off because I'm afraid I wouldn't finish till about 1:30, and Shannon might not be happy. She'd be okay. You know, our God is not the clock. So we've never really held to that. If that's who you are, you probably will never be happy in this church. I'll just tell you that. But I want us to just read the text this morning. It's Romans chapter 1. We're going to read verses 16 through 18. And just kind of prime our hearts for what God wants to do, and then we're going to wrap things up. Romans 1 and verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed." Now, if you want to stand, I don't want to be accused of dishonoring God's word. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Well, amen. You may be seated. Now, let me just say, last time we saw that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful, and that it is available, that it is there for all who will call upon Him. To the Jew first, came from the Jews. It started with the Jews. We owe the Jews a great debt. But it has come to us today. And Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ." And God still changes lives. God still saves souls. He still sets men and women and young people free. And if there's anything that we need today, it's that. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, I just want to say to you, we live in a time when the gospel is discounted in a lot of quarters. We live in a time when people aren't really tuned in to the Word of God, to the Bible, as being the answer. But I want to tell you, this nation of ours, we've become so wise, Brother Tommy. We've become so smart. We got smartphones, and we got smart this and that. We got all this technology, and we've become a nation of idiots, because we've forgotten the most important thing of all. And it's the Word of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, as Brother Trana said, you know, there's a lot of the people over there who have a head knowledge of Christ and who claim to be a Christian. We have the same thing here. We've got a lot of people who claim the name of Christ. But, you know, my prayer is that each one of you will not have just this knowledge up here, but that you will be changed by the gospel when He brings you into a brand new relationship with Him and you're born again. That's what's needed today. A form of religion or a form of godliness, it's not enough. And so we're here this morning as testimonies to the fact that the only answer in this life that's worth having is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. He's the answer. He's our hope. And without Him, well, there's nothing. And it becomes all the more relevant because we're fixing to move into a section of chapter 1 in Romans here that gets pretty intense. And we start that off. It's going to start it this morning, Brother Mike, but I'm trying hard to hold off. With the wrath of God being revealed from heaven. And so we'll talk about that. And it's not like human wrath. You know, we've seen people get angry. You know, we've seen people take their ball cap and throw it in the dirt and kick the dirt and other things down at the ball field. Some of us have seen that. Some of us have done that. And God's anger and God's wrath is not like ours. It's different.
So we'll look at all that. We'll talk about all that. But folks, it's urgent that we understand that there is a God in heaven. And He doesn't just turn a blind eye toward our lives, to the things we say and do and watch and take into our hearts. He doesn't just turn a blind eye. He knows. He understands. And folks, the day is coming when we will stand before Him and we're going to answer to Him. He is our God. He created us. He put us here. He sent His Son to the cross to die for us, to redeem us. He has every right to hold us accountable. And one day, He will. Every man will give an account of himself before God. And you'll do it either as a lost person or as a saved person. I want to recommend to you the second option. I want to recommend to you, when you stand before Him, make sure that you are in Christ. Make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because otherwise, that's not a good outcome. There's nothing good going to come when you stand before God in your sin. And you'll have no excuses on that day. You know, that's the other thing. We got all this technology and then we got all these excuses. Well, I'm this way because my parents did this. They didn't provide this. They were, you know, and we got all these reasons why. And I was reading in the Bible this week that the man who was invited into the wedding feast, but he didn't have wedding garment on. Remember that story, Matthew 22? And when it happened, the master came and said, "What are you doing here? How did you get in here? You don't have the right garment. You aren't fitted for this event. You're not supposed to be here." And it says the man was speechless. And I believe the day is coming when every mouth is going to be shut, and folks, people are. They're going to stand before God, and there's no excuses on that day. There's no defense attorneys. There's no, you know, you can't call your mama to come and testify on your behalf or whatever. You're going to stand before God yourself, and you're going to answer. Well, are you ready? I mean, if it came today, are you ready? If it all happened, it's all over, and you stand before God, you say, "Well, preacher, that's a long way off. I'm a young person, or I'm..." I'm getting a reaction up here on the front. That's what I was stopping for. Some of us aren't as young as we used to be. And I've noticed several of us, in fact. And boy, it's amazing how time flies as you're losing your mind. And one of these days, folks, it's going to end. And that's not a bad thing. It really isn't. I mean, life is good. This life is sweet. There's some wonderful things here. But I'll tell you, there's something so much better that God has waiting on us and getting ready for us and getting us ready for. And one day, when it's time, we're going to go to that. And I'm thankful. I have done nothing to deserve being saved. I haven't done anything that God should look at me and say, "Oh, well, okay, let's let Him in." No. It's purely by His grace and His mercy that I have salvation. And that's true for all of us. If today you don't have it, I want to invite you to open your heart. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to Him. And when you turn to Him, you're not just nodding your head, "Okay, I believe in Jesus." You're turning from your life, from who you are, from what you've done, from where you've been, your past, your failures, your successes, your good, your bad, everything. You're turning from all of that and you're turning to Jesus and you're trusting in Him and Him alone. So let's just take a moment and let's bow together. And let's just pray and let's just, from where you are this morning, if you know Him, that's great. If you don't know Him, this is a great time to come into His presence and ask Him to save you, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong. And the Bible says He will do that. Let's bow together. Father, in this moment, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for who You are. We're thankful for the Word of God and for the Gospel of Jesus, that we can have eternal life, Lord, because of what the Lord Jesus did for us at the cross. And Lord, we just thank You for that. We praise Your name. Lord, there are many believers here this morning who are thankful and grateful. Lord, we will praise You forever for what You've done for us. You have loved us with a love that goes beyond our understanding. Lord, help us to love You in return. But Father, there may be one here this morning who doesn't know You, doesn't have a relationship with You. Lord, would You draw that person to Jesus this morning? Would You, by the power of Your Spirit, would You draw them to Yourself and help them to realize and to know that You're real, that You're true, that You're there, and that You love them, and that You sent Your Son to the cross for them, that You gave Your life on the cross for them. Lord, I pray today, God, that the power of Your Holy Spirit will convict the hearts of every person who needs to be saved. Lord, give them exactly what they need to just turn to You in this moment, to put their faith and trust in You, You alone. Now, if you're here this morning and you need to be saved, I want to invite you to open up your heart. And you can do it in a simple prayer. It's not certain words you say, not a certain prayer you pray, but it's faith, it's repentance, it's turning to Him, it's asking Him to just save you and forgive you. So you can do it right now. Say, "Dear Lord," just pray a simple prayer like this. Say, "God, I need You. Lord, I want to be saved. Forgive me of every sin." Just tell Him from your heart. "Oh God, I'm calling on You, trusting in You. Save me, Lord Jesus. Come into my life. Lord, make me into a true Christian. And I thank You, Lord, for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. And thank You for saving me. Oh, Father, I pray if there's even one here this morning whose heart is open and is tender to the working of Your Spirit, I pray that even now You'll help them to cry out that faith that You're stirring in their heart. God, I pray they'll cry out to You and trust in You and be saved in this moment. Lord, it is a holy moment. Father, there may be a believer here today whose heart is troubled, who's struggling, who's in need. Father, would You reach out and would You bring peace and strength and comfort? Would You help them to bring every burden to You, to lay them down, to surrender every need to You this morning?